Appreciate the opportunity of being together again tonight. Last week, we talked about benefits and what things would you put in the category of benefits. Well, one that I would like tonight to put in the category of a benefit is our ability to meet tonight. It was okay to have Zoom, but Zoom doesn't meet this. The singing is better. The delay that we had for singing before when you tried on Zoom, you just had to be able to say, hey, we're doing our best. But I am thankful for the opportunity we have of being able to be together tonight. I consider it a benefit. We put a lot of other things in the benefit category. I was thinking of the verse that says, he daily loads us with benefits. You know, for us to have health tomorrow is a benefit. For me to be able to have the money to pay my bills, it's a benefit. I put a lot of things over in the benefit category, and all of them normally I would put in there are good things that he gives me. Well, we talked last week about, you know, there are places in the Bible, a whole lot of places, that says he's going to give us some things in our life that I would not consider a benefit, but he says it's a benefit. It will be a benefit. Maybe you will not be able to recognize it as that today, but it will be a benefit in your life. So I would like to start in Psalms 84 and 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now that's a good sounding verse for benefits. The Lord will not withhold any good thing from you, from those that walk uprightly. Now, you know, if you would advertise that, if you will become a Christian, you will be loaded with good things in your life. And, you know, there's a lot of churches today that say that. You live for God and you're going to have health and wealth and you're going to have a lot of things come your way. Well, this verse kind of seems to say that. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But I want to move on to another verse now that I think just needs to be hooked right on to that. 119 of Psalms and 71. It was good for me that I have been afflicted. Yes. So I'm thinking about suffering. Is it a benefit? I don't see it as a benefit in the natural. But this one says, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So what makes it to be a good thing? You know, the scripture tells us the Lord does not see things like we see it. It says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so much higher are his ways than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. So the things that I put in the benefit category and the things that he puts in the benefit category are sometimes two different things. But if I will draw real close to him, he can show me now or later how it really was a benefit. Yes. You know, right now we don't see much of a benefit from what Michael and Heather are going through. But you know what? If we could compare it to eternity, Yes. There is something being worked. The Lord has a plan that we cannot see. He allows things into our life that, if we could just recognize the whole picture of it, he's got a plan. And you remember the song that says, at the end of it all, if we go through it in the right way, we would be able to say, right was the pathway leading to this. What is this? Heaven, our home at the end of it. So there are some things that he sends to us with a desire for me to make heaven my home. And if I make heaven, everything he sent to me through my life will have been a benefit for me. So I would like for us to take a look at some things tonight as we did the other night. You know, really, when we look at suffering, Jesus gave us an example of it himself. He didn't just say, okay, you'll suffer, but he said, just like he has suffered, we need to arm ourselves likewise. We're going to have some things come our way, so we need to be ready for it. Thinking of what he asked Solomon, God to Solomon, you ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. If you had that request given, that offer given to you tonight, you ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. What would you want? Would you say, Lord, I have not had any trouble in my life for a long time. If you're going to give me one request, I request that you send some trouble in my life. We wouldn't do it. It seemed like it comes on its own without us asking for it. I was thinking of someone that he did give them their request. You know, we can go to the Lord, I want it done this way. And I keep on coming to the Lord. And if he gave me my request and he answered it the way I wanted, I could be praising him. I thank you for answering that request the way I've been asking you to do it. But it says, and I'd like to look at this, it's again in Psalms 106. Because it's possible for me to have a request, and I can't see very far out in the future, of whether that request is going to be best for me or not. Children of Israel, they're getting manna all the time, to the point that they're getting sick of it. We want something else. And they put in their request. And it says that he gave them, in the 15th verse of 106 Psalms, he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. What if on my request, benefits would be good things that come into my life? If I only asked for the good things that come into my life, and he gave them to me, but it had this same result, it sent leanness to my soul, and I was lost in the end, it would not be a very good benefit for me. So, have you ever prayed for suffering to come into your life? I don't think anybody has, because it seemed like it comes on a regular basis by itself. But you know, I have prayed this prayer before. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Whatever it takes, I want to go to heaven. You know what we're saying when we say that? Lord, the benefit category may be changing. It may be more than health and wealth that you send into my life. It could be some pain and suffering. But to believe that He has our interest at heart, the long-term interest. I'd like to look at a verse over in Ephesians. In Ephesians 5:27, here's what he's going to be expecting at the end of my life, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. When I stand before the Lord on judgment day, that's what he's going to be expecting out of my life. So if I have some wrinkles in my life now, how is the best way for him to be able to deal with it? Give me good things in my life, all the things I ask for. Sometimes he wants to send some things into my life that would draw me close to him. I'd like to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Okay, if we just stopped right there, I'm praying that your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved. What would you want to end that verse with? Be preserved from any troubles coming into your life. That's the way I would like to have it. But here's what he's saying is, I want those to be preserved blameless. Blameless. That you would send into my life whatever is necessary, that I would be blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he sends some things with a purpose of me being blameless. My soul, my body, and my spirit. You know, he cares about my body also, but he also will use that to send some things to draw me close to him. Last week, Brother Lauren mentioned, and I had forgotten about the story, of hinds feet on high places. And I started reviewing that in my mind this week as we think about these things. It was the story, and you maybe have read it, of Much Afraid. This girl, she wants to go to the high places. The shepherd tells her she can go. She has an impediment to where she's not able to walk well. She realizes she can't do it on her own. But it's all an allegory of us being able to have success in our spiritual life. And I was thinking of that. The good shepherd told her, said, I'm going to give you some companions to go with you. They were are the very best companions for you. And Brother Lauren mentioned who those were. It was sorrow and suffering. I'm going to send these things to go with you. Your desire is to go to the high places. These companions will help you to go there. You know, that is just the opposite of what we would like. We want to go to the high places. We want to go to heaven at the end of our life. But what I'd like is to have, Lord, put all good things in my life. If I come down sick, if I have an accident, Lord, I'd like for you to repair it real quick and get me back on my feet. Her desire was, I want to go to the high places, but I don't want to go that way. But he said, this is the very best way. And it was said in that story, she could see the mountains out ahead. She knows how to get there. You start heading toward them. But when she finally said, okay, I'm willing to go with these companions, sorrow and suffering, they turned away from the mountains and headed out into the desert. Yeah. And you remember, the shepherd had told her, said, at any time, if you'll just call out to me, I'll be back. I'm going to have to go away, but I'll be back at your side at any time. And she cried out to him and said, this is not the direction you said I would go to the high places. And I remember him saying to her, this is the route to the high places. But you will have to trust me that this is the route. You know what? In our lives today in 2020, when there are so many things available to help us to bypass problems that come into our life, sometimes going in the desert is still the route to heaven for us today. So I was looking at that. Her victory came when she yielded her will to his will. Yes. Okay, it seems like things are going totally wrong. You ever had that happen? Pretty often. We're going the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And yet he says, trust me. Mm-hmm. Yield your will to my will. I was looking at a verse because, you know, when this happens, I've got something I've got to do about it or I will not have success. I was looking at Psalm number 128. Talks about some plans and some hopes that didn't go the direction I wanted. Though my plans and my hopes may seem blighted, third verse of 128, here's my decision. I'm going to love thee and trust in thee still. For I know all is well that thou doest, and my heart says amen to thy will. And then, okay, life continues to pass by. Many things I don't understand, but I yield my will to his. Then this last verse, when I pass to that heavenly country, and my soul with its glory doth thrill, this forever shall be my rejoicing, that my heart said amen to his will. You know what? If we could just see heaven out ahead, yes, with the troubles and the trials that come into our life and be able to realize, you know what? His desire is, like that verse said, to preserve us blameless, our soul, our body, our spirit, blameless for that day. There was another song, number 180, to know that he knows. Verse number 3. Though in trial I suffer, he keeps me content, sees before me the dangers prepared, and in mercy his wisdom the flames may have sent, that my soul greater woe might be spared. Greater woe than suffering in this life? What is a greater woe than that? A greater woe is that I'm lost for eternity, without having received those things, that the directions that he wanted to bring into my life. And there was another, here Brother Wright called this song sometimes, number 144. First verse is instruction for myself. Oh, be still, thou soul of mine, thou art not forsaken. Though the powers of sin may rage, thou shalt be unshaken. He who gave his life for thee thus permits that thou shouldst be for thy good, as thou shalt see It doesn't say, okay, when you see it, I'll do it. No, he says, out in the future, you'll be able to recognize it. For thy good as thou shalt see, tempted for a season. And now the last part is, after I've seen all this instruction, I have to make a choice in my own life. Yes, dear Lord, I will be still. I will trust thee ever. I'll submit to all thy will and cling to thee forever. Lord, thou knowest what is best. Confident in this I'll rest till I dwell with all the blessed and with thee in heaven. You know, we're not going to understand everything that comes into our life. But what we can do is yield ourselves to God as he allows things in our life. I would like for us to always remember that little scene in that story of Hind's Feet on High Places. When she's out in the desert, there's no flowers, there's no grass, there's nothing alive plant-wise. It's all desert floor. And she comes on a place where a water pipe has a little hole in it and a tiny little drip dripping on that desert floor. And in that little spot of moisture, a flower blooms up. And as she looked at it, the name that she gave it was Acceptance with Joy. Not just acceptance, but I'm all in turmoil inside. But I accept what God has allowed into my life. If I don't understand it now, I will understand it later. I was thinking of a person. You know, there's a lot of people who have had trouble in their life. And they had to make a decision, that the same decision that 144 gave. Yes, dear Lord, I will be still. I will accept what you have allowed in my life. Fanny Crosby, it'd be interesting to read her story sometime. Blind just after she was born, shortly after she was born, she was blinded and was blind all her life. You know, you got to do something with that. You got to make some choices in your life. Either you'll become bitter at what God has allowed, or you will allow God to use it. And she allowed God to use it. And it said that she wrote 8,000 hymns. And if we start going through, we will find hymns and we say, I did not know she wrote that one. But it would talk about how God, once she yielded herself, you know what? The only way she could do that is to have yielded herself. Because then God could totally use her mind. Yes. Because where would her mind be otherwise when you fill it with bitterness of what has been happening in your life and it hasn't changed? But instead she gave it all to God. And said she, by the time she died, she had composed 8,000 hymns. She would have to wait for someone to come by and write down what was going through her head. And she said that as many as 12 songs would be developing at the same time in her head until somebody would come by and separate them and write them for her. And she was able to then tell them, here's this one. She would have somebody come by to visit her and say, I'm going to service this morning and I would like to, I think it was a Sunday school class or something. I have this theme. Can you ask the Lord, could he give you something? And he gave her a song just in minutes to be able to help with. Well, you know, that all came from a yielding. The same yielding that this little girl in Hind's Feet on High Places had to do, where I'm in the desert and it seems like I'll never get to the mountain. But the Lord says this is the route to take, so I yield myself to that. You know, we maybe don't hear many messages today on consecration. But you know, we're going to each one come into places where it's not a big deal, but it's an important deal that I yield my will to God when something is happening into my life. Fanny Crosby yielded hers, and we have one of her songs. I was looking at it today. Song number 460. Here's what, after she had given herself to God, he was able to give her this testimony. Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging, clinging close to thee. That's what a blind person does. They realize, you know what, I can't do it on my own. I need to stay close to the one that's going to guide me. So she took the spiritual application of it and applied what she had naturally had learned to do. Let thy precious blood applied keep me ever, ever near thy side. Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go. You know, that's one thing a blind person wants is, hey, don't start running. I'm not real sure of myself. Go slow with me so I can be more comfortable about it. Lead me gently, gently as I go. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Now she's got a request for the Lord. Does she say, I want my eyesight back? No, here's what she wants. Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love in a brighter, brighter world above. Took the troubles in her life that came to her and turned them into a benefit, not only to her, but for others. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. I'd like to look at a verse in Romans, because we're going to have something to compare this to. And I see it here in Romans 8 and in the 18th verse. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If I can always keep this verse in a picture in my mind, no matter what life brings to me, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. They are no comparison to what will happen if I be faithful. And it's pictured again in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, right down at the end of that chapter. 4:16, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, that's a benefit. I start having troubles in my body. I start having things go wrong, and I realize, you know what? There's something more important than health. Though the outward man perish, keep that inward man renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, we can go through some sickness to where a few days seem like a long, long time. Yeah. This one says it's but a moment. This was Paul writing this, and he had serious troubles in his life. How many times he was shipwrecked? How many times he was stoned? How many times he was beaten? And he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, somehow he had a picture of eternity that he held in front of him all the time. I need to be able to do that. Well, we know he had a picture because we read about it, where he says he was caught up to the third heaven. He didn't say it for himself, but he saw things that are not lawful to see. I think what he did was he took that, and when he gave his request to the Lord, I would like for you to make changes in my life. I would like for you to take away this thorn in the flesh. And the Lord did not take it away. He still took the sufferings that he would have and compared it to that vision of what he had seen. Yes. And he was able to say this, our light affliction is but for a moment. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. And here's how. Here's how we do it. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. You remember when the apostles, after Jesus died, they're out preaching the word and they're taken into custody. And it says that they were in Acts, the 5th chapter. I'd like to look at that before we close. Trouble's going to be coming their way. 5:40. It says, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. What would be your thoughts? Lord, do you see what they just did to me? How bad I'm feeling. What did they do? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Yes. That we would be able, that I would be able, in the troubles that come into my life, that I would be able, can we come to a place where we rejoice that Christ suffered, and now maybe I have a little bit of suffering to do for him. Lord, help me to go through it in the right way. I'd like to close with one more person. I just found this morning. This lady's name, kind of like Fanny Crosby, Her name was Annie Flint. And I saw a poem that she had written, and maybe this was even a song that was sung with it. It says that soon after birth, she was not very old until her mother and then her father both died. And she was adopted. She was adopted into a good home, but said in her early 20s, she got crippling arthritis to where she was just almost an invalid. But from that experience, again, she's going to have to do something with the things, the troubles that come into her life. From that experience, just like with Fanny Crosby, she allowed her life to be a help to others. Here's what she wrote. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our life through. Yeah. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God hath not promised that we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us that we shall not bear many a burden and many a care. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain, rocky and steep, never a river, turbid and deep. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. Grace for the trials, he's promised help from above, unfailing sympathy and undying love. He didn't promise that we would never have trouble in our life, but he has promised that he will go through it with us. But you know what? There's some choices that I have to make. There's a verse that says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, that bitterness can be toward God for things that he allowed into our life, and why it couldn't be different, why it couldn't be better. We don't know what the future holds for any of us. But when it comes to us that we have trouble and sorrow, may we ask the Lord, does this go in the benefit category? If I go through this right, is it possible that it could be my ticket to heaven? Yes. Lord, help us all. That is our prayers.